Now this morning in the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and my text is found in verse 1 of this glorious Gospel account. We shall read together Luke chapter 1 and verse 1 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee today that we have the assurance that Thou dost hear us when we pray. And now we ask that a holy hush might be upon this people, for this is Thy house, and we are in Thy presence, and we are here to worship Thee. So may we just open our hearts and minds to Thee to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. And may the Lord Jesus be honored in all these things. And again, for that one who is unsaved, who has not an anchor for life, may they find it today. For those who need a special portion of grace, may the Holy Spirit provide it today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1 and verse 1, Luke writes, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, those things which are most surely believed among us." I will be bringing this morning the third in a series of messages on the first Sunday of October. My message was entitled "Branded," and we saw how that we are branded for Christ. Last Sunday, my message was entitled "Broken," and we learned from the Scriptures how that we and why that we are broken for Christ. And now today, the word is "believe." Those things which are surely believed among us. You see, Christianity is not a religion of speculation. The Christian faith is a religion of revelation. God hath spoken. Paul put it this way in Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Christianity is the revelation of God in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sum total of all of Christianity and the Christian faith, I believe, is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received into heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, reconciling the world to Him through love and mercy and grace. Those things which are surely believed among us. Now, I want to preface my message to share one thing with you. This isn't even in my message. I haven't gotten started yet. But I want to say this to start with. Among those things that we most surely believe is this, that God answers prayer. A few weeks ago, I brought a request before this people. A little girl, 5 years old, was facing open heart surgery. And we asked this congregation to pray for Rhonda Toomer. You'll be glad to know that Rhonda was in our kindergarten department this morning. And I believe she's perhaps in the service now. Carolyn, yes, she's back there, isn't she? Could you just have her to stand up there? I want people to see her. Let her stand up on the pew. She's kind of small. 5 years old. Open heart surgery a few weeks ago. And the doctor said, we don't know. But God does. Thank you, darling. You may be seated. I just wanted to, just to say that among those things that we most surely believe, is that God answers prayer. Now, my message, believe. We believe that the Bible is literally true. Now, I think that in these days of apostasy, in these days of a turning away from the truth, that we ought to make ourselves distinctly clear by telling the world that we believe the Bible is literally true. We believe God said what He meant and meant what He said. Look at that wonderful book. Oh, it came to us through blood and tears. Over 1,600 years. 40 different people were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. And we have a complete library of 66 volumes, 1,189 chapters, over 773,000 verses, and we believe that every word in the original language in which it was written is inspired of God and therefore literally true. Maybe we haven't seen it yet, but we are going to see that such a people as make this stand are going to be distinctive in the world. You want to be distinctive? Just hold on to the ancient belief that this book is the book of God. You'll make for yourself a place in the world of religious circles. No wonder John Greenleaf Whittier said, "We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll, and all old flower fields of the soul, and weary seekers of the best. We come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine." We believe. Let me emphasize, we believe the Bible is literally true. The inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the eternal God. I read a story about a man in South Ireland a number of years ago. A leading layman in a church where a new pastor had been called and had served for 2 years. This layman became very critically ill. A terminal case. They called in the pastor. The new pastor was one who had attended the schools of higher learning in Europe. And he had decided through his higher learning that so many parts of the Bible were not literally true. So when they called in this pastor, didn't have anybody else to call on, so they just called on him. I sure wouldn't want a modernist liberal to come to pray for me when I'm dying. If you can't find anybody better than that, let me die alone. And so the pastor said to the dying man, "Well, would you like for me to read some and pray?" The dying man beckoned for his wife to bring the Bible. The pastor took the Bible and opened it, and he noticed something very strange. A book was missing here, and a book was missing there, and a chapter was missing here, and a chapter was missing there, and a verse was missing here, and a verse was missing there. And the pastor said to the dying man, "Don't you have a better Bible than this?" And the man said, "Pastor, when you came here 2 years ago, I had a complete Bible. But week after week, you told us that this book wasn't true, and that book wasn't true, and this chapter wasn't true, and that verse wasn't true. And so, Pastor, when I got home, I just cut them all out." And you know what, Pastor? He said, "If I'd live another year, I wouldn't have any Bible at all, because you've told me so much of it was not true. I have been your unworthy pastor for over 9 years. But let me say this. There's not a member of this church, there's not a person who has ever visited this church in these years who can stand and say, 'He said this wasn't true.' Beloved, I believe it all. I believe it is literally true." This is one of the things that is most assuredly believed among us. And there are more. We believe that all men are sinners by nature. In the Garden of Eden, I see Adam. I hear the voice of God, "Thou shalt not eat of this tree." And then came Satan. And Adam and Eve were beguiled and deceived, and they partook of the forbidden fruit. And remember, God said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now I believe that both physical and spiritual death entered into that declaration. And I believe with all of my heart that if Adam had not disobeyed God, he might well be seated here on one of these pews this morning. Romans 5:12 declares, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all..." Now get this, not a few, not some. "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All have sinned. We believe that man is a sinner by nature. The psalmist said in the 51st chapter and verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Again in Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. In Isaiah 53:6, we read, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I read in Romans 11:3, a correction, 3:11. I read, there is none that doeth good. No, not one. And in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. A-L-L. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every member of Adam's race is a sinner by nature, an alien by birth from God. We believe that all men are sinners by nature. We believe that all men are facing death and judgment. For it is written in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible has a great deal to say about death and dying. I read in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, the generations of Adam and his descendants. And God names every man, and God gives the age of each of these men. And then God says, and he died. And he died. And he died. It is appointed unto men once to die. The death of every man is an inescapable appointment. It is appointed unto men once to die. The two funerals that I conducted this last week reminds me that men are dying. A precious baby that lived less than 30 minutes. A father and husband, almost 70, the 70. From one end of the scale to the other, men are dying. I said to my wife this morning as I glanced through the morning paper, take out the advertisements, the accidents and deaths, and there's very little left. Men are dying, I tell you. It is appointed unto men once to die. To die you must. 84 people every minute die. 165,000 a day die. It is appointed unto men. This we believe by the word of God. It is appointed unto men once to die. And the Bible has a great deal to say about judgment. For not only are all men facing death, but all men are facing judgment. Every saved person, every Christian in this house this morning is facing the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we, he's talking to and about Christians, for we must all. Now you can ignore this, you can forget it, you can tune it out, you can do whatever you want to, but it won't change it. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in this body, whether they be good or evil. Every Christian, every believer, every saved person is facing the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we've got some members of Worth Baptist Church who, if they took down the calendar 1970 and drew a ring around every Sunday that they have missed in this year, they'd think they were going around in circles. But every man must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, fellow church members, dear saints of God, you can, I say, forget, ignore, tune out what this preacher's saying this morning. And you may not think that you're going to have to account for the laziness and indifference and carelessness. You may not think you're going to have to account for those Sunday nights that you did something else when you should have come to church. You may not think that you're going to have to account to God for misspent money and opportunities. But as sure as you're here today, and as sure as this is God's book, every Christian must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of his faithfulness, his stewardship in this life. If you don't ever hear me again, you remember that on October the 18th, 1970, your pastor gave you the truth of God's word. And my unsaved friend, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you die in that state, if you die without the saving grace of God, you will stand before God Himself, the great white throne judgment. Let me read it to you. I could quote it to you, and I think most of you know that, but I want to read it to you. Some of you think sometimes I'm quoting, I'm just talking. Let me read it to you. Unsaved friend, listen to me. John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now hear it. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Is your name written there? On the page bright and fair, is your name written there? Well, you say, "My name's on the church roll." I didn't ask you that. I've learned the catechisms. I didn't ask you that. I've been baptized. I didn't ask you that. I ask you, is your name written there? Whosoever was not found written there was cast into the lake of fire. That is the great courtroom of God's eternal justice. But wait, I want to tell you how you can settle it out of court this morning. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anchor your faith in Him. Trust Him as your Savior. Just open up the door of your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, come in." Oh, you say, "Preacher, that sounds so ridiculously simple." It is. For God has made it plain that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. We believe that all men are facing death and judgment. You may ignore God, you may put him out of your life in this world, in this life, but woe unto you in the life to come. We believe that all men will spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Eternity. Not a year, not 2 years, not a lifetime. Eternity. Someone has defined that indefinable period of eternity as the lifetime of the Almighty. Eternity in heaven or hell. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus talks about two ways and two destinies. Jesus said the way that leads to life is narrow. Jesus said the way that leads to death and destruction is broad. Which way are you traveling? The narrow road to life or the broad road to destruction? In the 16th chapter of Luke, Jesus gives a vivid story of two men, Lazarus and the rich man. And the Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died and was buried and in hell. And in hell. And in hell he lifted up his eyes and lifted up his voice and cried, please send Lazarus and let him dip his finger in water and place it on my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. Do you know what the voice came back? No. No! For there is a great gulf. There is an impasse between heaven and hell. Those who would go from us to you cannot, and those who would come from you to us cannot. I say again, we believe that every man, every person will spend eternity in heaven or hell. Beloved, we believe that all men can be saved by the grace of God. I gave you Romans 5:12 a while ago. For since by one man death entered into the world, and sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death, sin. Death, sin. So that death hath passed upon all men. All men. For that all have sinned. But thank God there's a Romans 5:20 where sin abounded, grace. Grace doth much more abound. All men can be saved by the grace of God. For God is a God of love and mercy and long-suffering and tenderness, and he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The very book of God is a standing invitation to all men. This book excludes no man. This book includes all men. The book opens with an invitation. God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The Bible continues with that same word. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Bible concludes with an invitation. In the last book, the Revelation, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. We believe that all men can be saved by the grace of God. I've a footnote to my message. Beloved, we believe the time is running out. We believe that time is running out. There are four things that can never return. One, a spoken word. Two, a shot arrow. Three, a past life. Four, a lost opportunity. These will never return. Time is running out. World conditions tell us that time is running out. And God said, hear me now. God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. God said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Yesterday is like a canceled check, worthless. Tomorrow is a promissory note, not good until it's paid. Today is like ready cash, and that's all you have left. For today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. There is a time I know not when. There is a place I know not where that marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. There is a line by man unseen that crosses every path that marks the difference between God's mercy and God's wrath. We believe that time is running out. Let us stand for our prayer. Oh, dear God, this morning, how frail and how fruitless is our attempt. And oh, dear God, we know that if the Holy Spirit doesn't move, nothing can happen. We know if anything of lasting good is done, that thou must do it. And we pray, oh, we pray this morning for that young woman out there who doesn't know the way of salvation, who has never trusted Christ, who hasn't received the light of revelation and of truth. Oh, may the Holy Spirit break through that heart today. For that man who hasn't found himself with God. For that boy or girl, for that young person, whoever might be in need of salvation, in need of Christ, may they come this morning and trust Him. Dear God, for those who are saved but who have difficulties in their lives and problems and perplexities and have found themselves slipping back a little bit, missing the mark, sidetracked, having lost the main track and the main course and the main purpose of living and of life, oh, may they step over into the middle of the stream this morning and come back. Come back, dear God, to that place where they left off and where they will find Thee waiting right at the place where they left. Bring men to Jesus and bring us all in these days of revival to our knees and bring people into the fellowship of the church is our prayer in Jesus' name.